You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Gunner's phone went straight to voicemail. We continue. It was probably a good thing. Odd, isn't it? Yankees win. He doesn't want to be on.
Oh, I might not have cell service where I'm going. Oh.
Yeah. Baseball? What do you mean baseball? You know, and Montana Man, he hasn't been, we haven't seen hide nor hair of him. Montana Man down the stretch was like texting the standings. He was texting a picture of the screenshot of the standings in the American League East. Yeah, he disappeared, his punk ass. Somebody just sent me a link to an article about Dianne Feinstein running for re-election. I guess if you're a conservative, she's a moderate. The left in California is not happy that she's running for re-election. So I guess that should make some of us happy, right? 38 Special. They're not in studio. They just sing that song. It's called Second Chance. Senator Dianne Feinstein announces 2018 re-election campaign. Lots more to do. She's 85 years old. Okay? 85 years old. She'll be 91 at the end of her term. VA is also in the news, breaking news about the Veterans Administration. And this is the shit that pisses people off. Here's the headline in USA Today. VA vows changes on bad health care providers. Lawmakers take action after USA Today investigation. I'll read this first paragraph. The Department of Veterans Affairs is pledging to overhaul its reporting policies for bad medical workers, and a group of lawmakers is introducing legislation following a USA Today investigation that found the VA has routinely concealed shoddy care and staff mistakes. Okay. That's the kind of shit. Hiding it? Is brutal. Absolutely, positively brutal. Okay, there's an article about the investigation. Behind the walls of the nation's oldest veterans hospitals, the reports were grim. Medical expert from the Department of Veterans Affairs blamed one botched surgery after another on a lone podiatrist. They said Thomas Francini drilled the wrong screw into the bone of one veteran. He severed a critical tendon in another. He cut into patients who didn't need surgery at all. Twice he failed to properly fuse the ankle of a woman who chose to have her leg amputated rather than endure the pain. In 88 cases, the VA concluded, Francini, whatever it is, made mistakes that harmed veterans at the Togus Hospital in Maine. The findings reached the highest levels of the agency. Quote, we found that he was a dangerous surgeon, former hospital surgery chief Robert Sampson said, during a deposition in an ongoing federal lawsuit against the VA. Agency officials didn't fire Francini. or report him to a national database that tracks problem doctors. They let him quietly resign and move to private practice, then failed for years to disclose his past to patients and state regulators who licensed him. He now works as a podiatrist in New York City. What is that? What kind of shit is that? And then there's a video that goes along with it that shows people in Maine, amputees now, right? That this guy hammered. So, breaking news. I don't want to get into that. Dianne Feinstein, back to her. I'm all in. Feinstein, 84, is the oldest senator in the upper chamber and the top Democrat on the Senate Judiciary Committee. Prior to her time in the Senate, Feinstein was mayor of San Francisco from 1978 to 1988. She ran as a Democrat nominee in California's 1990 gubernatorial race and lost, but that eventually led to her replacing the winner of the race, Pete Wilson, in the Senate, where she won a special election in 1992. So that in the news today. But it's amazing. Yeah, when you're getting medication for Alzheimer's, that should disqualify you. Your own sense of honor should allow you to say, hey, somebody else needs to sit in this seat. I'm no longer sure that I can do the things that are in the best interest of the people of my state, my district, whatever. It's amazing. You know, when you think that the bar can't get lower, what you hear booming in your head is elevator going down. Fantastic information regarding social engineering in the armed forces. This direct and open information is exactly why I listen in earnest to Allman Radio. Wonderful to hear Wes O'Donnell. After all these Navy mishaps, I was beginning to wonder if the anti-American sentiment in the previous administration had been infiltrated by saboteurs. I have read a few articles, none that I can cite out of hand, that the current CIA has taken on anti-American interests, which is frightening. Yes, to an extreme manslaughter charge, if only to make the point the importance of what you, Michael McNamara, has called a lack of discipline and the deadly outcome of a result. Yes, for military veterans to be in elected positions all across this great land. For sure, a massive undertaking. Yet, if we are to secure this credible republic, and the older I grow, the more I understand just how incredible this republic is. In the meantime, there is Article 5, Convention of States, while the call for veterans in government is answered. I rearranged my schedule today to listen live today, and I am better for it. As I can with purpose live my daily life, knowing that I'm part of something bigger than myself. I'm part of these United States of America. Thank you for my entire being. God bless all of you for liberty's sake. All the best, Claire. I do believe veterans are more, at the end of the day, they get it in a way that other people don't. And so I think the nation needs veterans more than ever. I think, Democrat, Republican, I don't particularly care. The pledge that you'll need to sign for our support is that I will put the nation before I put my party. If you'll sign that report, then we'll support you as a veteran, given that pledge. I will not go be part of the gridlock that currently is in Washington, D.C. I will put the nation and the good of the nation before my party and before any other interest. Signed, Michael Francis McNamara. And once you sign that, we're good. Okay? But don't make us come looking for you. If you piss down my back on that one, yeah, we're going to come to your office. We're going to throw shit around. We're going to make a scene. We're going to call you a traitor. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you ever heard my whole fuck the VA thing. It's kind of a takeoff of NWA's fuck the police, that thing. This kind of shit that you read about, people getting their legs cut off, because somebody's botched a surgery, and then when it's brought to somebody's attention, they don't do what they're supposed to do. They don't run it up the flagpole. They don't air that. Why does that doctor have the right? What is his right to mutilate people? Trump, your right to be safe from him. Who's responsible for that? Some other goddamn doctor? It's bullshit. Those people were responsible for other people being mutilated. Who the fuck are they? And their names ought to be published, they ought to be humiliated, and then I have their faces stuffed into it. Yeah, and we're to dock your retirement too. You might want to go get a second job. It only have to be part time. But you know, your retirement is going to go from 4,000 to 2,000. And that 2,000 is going to go to one of these people, right? One of these people on a monthly basis. Because you owe them. Because the reason they're permanently disabled, missing a leg, is because you're bullshit. Another email. Interested in your comments, effect of Burns, Vietnam series, and Afghanistan and Iraq vets. Hi, Mac. I got what you say about Afghanistan and Iraq vets seeing the parallels with the Vietnam War. Trust me, Mac, for most Vietnam combat vets, the whole Iraq business has been deja fucking vu all over again. Ken. Yeah, no, I mean, Mike and I had a conversation, Musselman had a conversation about the series. And you couldn't watch it without seeing the same themes, all those years later. And you know, I've got a bone to pick with Vietnam era, leaders. You know, after Desert Storm, you know, there was a lot of chest pounding that, you know what, we learned from Vietnam, we did it right, you know, we got an objective, it was limited in scope, we had the right force, everybody got out of the way, we did it. What do we know now? Desert Storm was an anomaly, okay? It was an absolute positive anomaly. It'll never happen again, okay? The very thing that we train for, we have some son of a bitch that's dumb enough to go lay down in the desert and simulate what we've been practicing at Fort Irwin and 29 Palms forever. There's no civilians around, so we can just lay the wood to their ass, right? And other people are going to pay for it. Perfect. I mean, how much better can this scenario get? Is this real? Come on, this could never happen. It would be identical to this. The only thing that complicated life was the supposedly the berm and the chemical weapons that he was going to dump into it that he never did. And the only other thing that he was the blowing of all those oil rigs. If Saddam Hussein had a chemical weapon, when would he have used it? He would have used it as his forces came back in to the to Iraq on that Highway to Hell fiasco. The guys that survived, if you're looking to put a barrier between you and a pursuing force, bomb out a persistent agent in places that are his most likely avenues of approach. Oh, he didn't have it. That's right. I forgot. All right, we're gonna check the early bird. We'll do the top five stories of the day here on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio. Hey Matt, greetings from the 5th Marine Regiment. I'm not gonna say which battalion because I don't want to get my ass in trouble, but somebody told me about your program. Just wanted to give you a shout out. Listening down here at Camp Pendleton. Yeah, if you send in an email if you're listening, and we'll put you on the honor roll. Hey, I'm a member of the 5th Marine Regiment on two separate occasions, 1st Battalion Charlie Company, 1st Battalion 5th Marines, and and headquarters company, 5th Marine Regiment. In 2006, in Fallujah. Yeah, my French 4J sitting feet from me. That's right, not yards, feet from me. Proud member of the crew. All right, so we'll check the top five news stories out of the early bird. Hold on, email. Mac, is all you do is read all day? It sounds like pretty much a dorkish way to live. No wonder you're an officer. No, I don't read all day. I mean, I read, but not all day. But I'm curious. I've always been a reader my whole life, so I read. I look for headlines that get my attention, and then I kind of go after it like that. And, oh, by the way, on the website, under show notes, there's something called reading list. If you click on that, you're going to see things that have been recommended. There's two entries to it right now. One is called Autumn of the Black Snake, recommended by Will Cosentini. In fact, both entries recommended by Will Cosentini. I will put another link on there. And it'll be the link to the article that we're talking about today. It's a great one. I'll also put a couple of people have asked me for the link to the 538 article, and so I'll put that. I will put that in there as well. And so, just so you know, it's already there. Go to show notes. Click on the tab that says reading list. Boom, you'll find a whole series of links. I'll tighten that up today. So there you have it. On the early bird today, top story. On the eve of Trump delivering decision on the Iran deal, Congress strategizes. I heard before I came on the air, I don't know where I heard it, but a report that Congress has already been briefed on the president's actions, and essentially he's going to invalidate the deal and kick it to Congress and say, all right, Congress, figure this out. Tell us the direction we ought to go to. And there's all kinds of – the more I hear about the deal, the more it's head-scratching. You know, we don't go inspect sites. They send us soil samples from the sites. Right. What the hell? Saddam had plenty of chemical weapons, but either an inability or unwillingness to employ them against us. He used them against the Kurds, and I believe the Iranians. Well, he used them against the Iranians, certainly. And he did against the Kurds. Well, where'd they all go? Why wouldn't he put down a persistent agent when we pursued him if he had such a robust chemical capability? Oh, that's because he never had a robust chemical capability. He had a capability, but not a very big one. Interesting. Because you know what? When he was fleeing out of Kuwait, I mean, if you were him, would you believe that, oh, they'll never come here? Maybe that's what he banked on. But, yeah, this is my opinion. But, yeah. Let me tell you, and we looked all over a land bar for WMD. You'd be walking in a building, and there'd be a loose tile, and somebody'd say, WMD, turn it over, right? That was going to be the hidden trap door. It was never there in any amount. Here's another email. This just says Camp Pendleton Marine. Hot topic, the senior Lance Corporal. That dude was the problem at the 5th Marine Regiment. They pumped to Okinawa, give themselves legend status, come back, and lay the wood that anybody knew. That's who's doing this shit. Yeah, you know, and again, if I was Eric Smith, I'd do the same. I'd lay the wood to those son of a bitches, man. Right? We've talked about the single thing that differentiates us is that we're more disciplined. And you come in and you want to do this shit. But let me just tell you this. So the problem that has to be looked at is, have we emasculated our staff NCOs? Are the officers now so all over it that the staff NCOs don't have the same kind of power that they used to? Is that how it works now? Because, you know, I think John Ubaldi's right. And the email that sent the email, emailer, hey, ask Master Guns if he's ever seen this shit go on where you had a strong platoon sergeant. Do the Marines in a platoon defy their platoon sergeant if he says this shit will not happen? Master Guns, no. I've never seen it happen in that platoon. Why? Because they know that life would be hell. They know it. So where you see this, you see it. There has to be weak staff NCOs or it can't happen. And again, this is not an officer thing. And if people want to argue with me, that's fine. But I can get up and I can give a speech. Like the message I read to you earlier. Okay? And that is, the guy who's my friend who sent this to me, he's like no shit. Okay? He's like no shit American gunslinging war hero. Yeah. He's a baller. So he carries more, you know, he carries more weight than most of us. And so when he says, I told them it was an act of cowardice, that's going to land with a thud. Trust me. Not everybody has that. Okay. So what officers can do, you can create an environment. You can talk about your expectations. But the tie rods to the wheels, that's a steering wheel, right? The tie rod to the wheel, the hub of the wheel, that's the platoon sergeant and the sergeant squad leaders. The corporals, they're too junior, man. They're still living in it. To ask them to step up and stop it, you can ask them. You're going to get a very, very mixed bag of results because they're novices. They're junior. They're encountering this shit for the first time. The sergeants aren't. They've seen it come. They've seen it go. They've seen it come back. They've seen it leave. The staff NCOs, come on, right? They just, you know, I mean, if they're still in the grunts, they roll their eyes at it like, oh, this shit again? First of all, I don't need it. I don't need the grief that comes with it. And so it's not happening. So, yeah. And so it goes. But it's interesting. It's interesting. Again, read the article in Marine Corps Times. Jeff Scogel writes it. And again, the article has two thrusts. One is the problem of hazing in 1st Marine Division and in the Marine Corps and in the military and in college with that age group. It's there. It's going to happen. Right? There's a story going around. LSU, 10 students, male students indicted for the drinking death of a pledge. Yeah. So look, it's endemic in our culture. Why? I'm not exactly sure. But again, I've gone through a lot of that stuff. I've enjoyed it, most of it, you know. But now we're going to eliminate it. And what you have to do is the tie rods to get this done are the staff sergeants and the sergeants. They're there. They know who the criminals are. And they can prevent it. But somehow or other, they have to be held accountable. If there's no reason, if I can just look and shrug my hands and, you know, and do the Polish salute, right, which is palms up in the air, you know, coming out of my pockets, huh? Yeah, that move. If I can do that move and get away with it, and my career is not going to be impacted, you know, then I don't care. Schmidt can pay. I'm not going to pay. It wasn't my fault. Oh, everything my unit does and fails to do, that's my responsibility. Whoa, time out. We're actually going to apply that shit? email. So let me get this straight. The lieutenant's a victim in all this? He's not held accountable, but the staff sergeant is? This is my opinion. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Lieutenant doesn't live in that world, okay? He gives orders to the staff sergeant. He is, try as you want to as an officer, you can never be part of it. Why? Because you're an officer. You're the enemy chain of command.
Whoa, 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 Mac. We don't talk about that anymore. Bullshit, man. You're the one that writes the charge sheets. You're the one that recommends it. You're that guy. Okay. So, yeah, so the lieutenant can't be held accountable. But the staff sergeant can. That's his murky little underworld that he goes into. Yeah, the organized crime network of the Marine Corps. Right? He walks into it and he runs it. And it's been that way for a long time. And then for us to say, oh, that ain't fair, too fucking bad it ain't fair. Get your shit together. Yeah, how about that? Boom! All right, next story, early bird. So the president's going to decertify the Iran deal, kick it to Congress, and then we'll get to see Congress in all of its glory give us some other bonanza of American diplomacy. What a bunch of bullshit. Pentagon to shift bulk of major defense programs to services, and people may go too. You know, I will tell you this, one of the most interesting themes of this administration is going to be the Secretary of Defense and his reorganization of the Pentagon. I know that for years he's been dying to get his hands on that apparatus. What can I do to change this? What can I do to streamline it? What can I do to make this more efficient in a way that will impact the Department of Defense for decades? Here's a little bit of the article that appears in Defense News. The Pentagon's top acquisition official wants to shift the bulk of major defense programs back to the services, which could include moving individuals from the Office of the Secretary of Defense towards service jobs. Ellen Lord, the Undersecretary for Defense Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics, ATNL as it's known, believes that her office has been given marching orders from Congress to push day-to-day management of major defense acquisition programs, or MDAPs, back to the services. Congress has been very clear in the last few NDAAs that they want a shift of oversight of most programs back to the services. I entirely agree with that. In fact, there are some programs that were transitioned back earlier this year. So again, look for more of that. Look for more of that. And look for the Secretary of Defense after, you know, I mean, he's got a relatively busy schedule. But looming, I know, in the back of his head, being the thinking person that he is, are notes to self about the reorganization of the Pentagon. Look for that. Film at 11. Joint Strike Fighter plans stolen in Australia cyber attack. This is a theme. Dateline Sydney, Reuters. A hacker stole non-classified information about Australia's Joint Strike Fighter program and other military hardware last year after breaching the defense network of a contractor, defense industry minister said on Thursday. Now, here's the bullshit part about that. Here's the headline. Joint Strike Fighter plan stolen in Australia. If I read that non-classified information about Australia's Joint Strike Fighter program was stolen in an Australian cyber attack, am I going to click on that? Reuters? Answer, no. Shame on you, early bird, for not reading the actual article. Trump picks Lockheed executive Rood for top Pentagon policy post. Yeah, supposedly this has been an issue between DOD and the White House. Be interesting to see the impact Secretary or Chief of Staff Kelly has on it. But supposedly people that were nominated by SecDef were not approved because they weren't Trump enough. Anyway, President Donald Trump plans to name John Rood, a senior executive at defense contractor Lockheed Martin,
and a 20-year veteran of various government roles as Undersecretary of Defense for Policy, the Pentagon's number three job, the White House said on Wednesday. Rood, an Arizona native, previously worked for arms maker Raytheon, was a State Department and National Security Council official in the administration of former President George Bush. Congratulations to him. Hope it all works out. Story number five. West Point superintendent responds to outrage over pro-communist former cadet. This has been kind of interesting, but to be honest with you, I categorize it under the dropped on your head at birth, you know, even the Naval Academy and West Point and wherever else, they have their idiots too, okay? Just because they go to those schools and got into those schools doesn't mean anything. What the picture, though, that you've seen, that you've probably seen circulated, is a picture of Yo-Yo, okay? Interestingly enough, he's a decorated soldier, prior enlisted, I would think. He's got the combat infantry badge. He has jump wings. And it looks like air assault qualified wings. Second Lieutenant Spence Rapone posted a picture on Twitter of himself posing at his West Point graduation with a T-shirt of Che Guevara underneath. So if you haven't seen the picture, he's got his tunic unbuttoned, and it's got it pulled to the side, and here's a picture of Che Guevara underneath. On Wednesday, West Point Superintendent Lieutenant General Robert Castlin responded to the outrage in a letter addressed to the men and women of the United States Military Academy. I ask that you help me prevent the negativity associated with the alleged behavior of one graduate from causing us to lose sight of the thousands of graduates who sacrifice and serve honorably every day. Second Lieutenant Spence Rapone, who is assigned to the 2nd Brigade Combat Team, 10th Mountain Division, is under investigation for subversive political views by both his unit and West Point. United States Military Academy's investigation is focusing on, quote, policies and procedures as they pertain to then-cadet Rapone's time at United States Military Academy and USMA's determination of his suitability for graduation and commissioning. Whoa, they're going to revoke his ass. Marco Rubio has weighed in. He wants him booted out of the Army. The superintendent's letter came the same day as another letter from retired Lieutenant Colonel and former West Point professor made its way to the Internet. Robert Heffington accused West Point of loose standards and lack of discipline or honor. I'll read you that letter in a second. Okay. Then there's a second, picture that surfaces in the article. And the same cadet looks like probably lining up for parade, possibly graduation, and Second Lieutenant Spencer Rapone, and in his cover, in his barracks cover that he wears, right, for the parade, there is a piece of paper inserted that says, "Communism will win." So he's stupid in addition to being foolish. If that makes any sense. Maybe he's just stupid on top of stupid. Quote, I don't take these allegations lightly, and we'll provide your response, U.S. response, with facts addressing his allegations, and then you can judge for yourself whether our graduates are serving our nation with character imbued with the values of duty, honor, country, or not, Castlin wrote. So let me read you a little bit of the, a little bit, and I just saw something else that caught my eye. The Army's uniforms suck, okay? They straight up suck. During World War II, they had awesome uniforms. So I just, and as I was reading the whole West Point thing, this little picture popped up. Pink and greens are throwback jersey the Army needs. And it shows, let's see, a sergeant, a lieutenant colonel, kind of young, and I don't even know what rank, sergeant first class, male, standing there in October 11th, And they are evidently a prototype of what the Army's considering going back to. Hey, Army, by all means, go back to that uniform. That lame-ass green thing that you guys wear, it's horrible. And everybody remembers, right, the World War II green uniform and then kind of that gabardine, those gabardine slacks. It looks awesome. If you are familiar with Band of Brothers, the uniforms in there, awesome. What they don't put back on that I would recommend they do is they don't put the belt back on. Okay, so let me just tell you this. If you want your people to stay in shape, put the belt back on. Yeah, the Marine Corps, the only service that wears a belt. The pink and green prototype uniform debuted at this week's Association of U.S. Army Convention, and as the baseball postseason descends on us, we are reminded that throwback jerseys always seem appropriate, the appropriate choice to not only show pride in the team, but also to show the team's storied history. The test has its supporters and its critics, but addressed a good point. The Army needs one uniform for daily wear and one for special occasions. The characteristically humble service has historically struggled to acknowledge this need. It compromised by dressing up austere and muddy fatigues with things like starched creases, chrome-plated helmets, and ascots. However, two uniforms are needed. Blah, 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 blah. Look, I don't care. The green bus driver uniform sucks, okay? Get rid of that thing. Right? The World War II stuff you guys used to have, that thing's a good look. I'm telling you. Not as good as ours, but it's good. Okay, we'll end with this. Here's an open letter to graduates from Lieutenant Colonel retired Heffington. Written by Lieutenant Colonel, United States Army retired Robert N. Heffington, as an open letter to graduates of the United States Military Academy at West Point. It has only been edited for format and may differ in that respect from the original. My apologies to Lieutenant Colonel Heffington if this has been seen as a misrepresentation in any way. Dear sir, ma'am, before you read any further, please understand the following paragraphs come from a place of intense devotion and loyalty to West Point. My experience as a cadet had a profound impact upon who I am and upon the course of my life, and I remain forever grateful that I have the opportunity to be part of the Long Gray Line. I firmly believe West Point is a national treasure and that it can and should remain vitally important source of well-trained, disciplined, highly educated Army officers and civilian leaders. However, during my time on the West Point faculty, 2006 to 2009, and again 2013 to 2017, I personally witnessed a series of fundamental changes at West Point that have eroded it to the point where I question whether the institution should even remain open. Boom. Holy shit. The recent coverage of Second Lieutenant Spencer Rapone, an avowed communist and sworn enemy of the United States, dramatically highlighted this disturbing trend. Given my recent tenure on the West Point faculty and my direct interactions with Rapone, his mentors, and with the Academy's leadership, I believe I can shed light on how someone with Rapone could possibly graduate. First and foremost, standards at West Point are non-existent. They exist on paper, but nowhere else. The senior administration at West Point inexplicably refuses to enforce West Point's publicly touted high standards on cadets, and having picked up on this, cadets refuse to enforce standards on each other. The superintendent refuses to enforce admission standards or the cadet honor code. The dean refuses to enforce academic standards, and the commandant refuses to enforce standards of conduct and discipline. The end result is a sort of malaise that permeates the entire institution. Nothing matters anymore. Whoa. Life without consequences, right? We talk about that. Cadets know this, and it has given rise to a level of cadet arrogance and entitlement, the likes of which West Point has never seen in its history. I'm not going to be able to read this whole thing. It goes on and on. I'll post it on... All right, let's see. Let me read the end. I will sum up by saying this. A culture of extreme permissiveness has invaded the military academy, and there seems to be no end. Moreover, this is not unintentional. It is deliberate. It is a deliberate action that is taken by the academy's senior leadership, though they refuse to acknowledge or explain it. Conduct and behavior that would never be tolerated by a civilian university, is common among cadets, and it is supported and defended by the academy's senior leaders in an apparent and misguided effort to attract more applicants and cater to what they see as the unique needs of this generation of cadets. Our beloved military academy has lost its way. It is a shadow of what it once was. It used to be a place where standards and discipline mattered, and where concepts like duty, honor, and country were real and they meant something. Those ideas have been replaced by extreme permissiveness, rampant dishonesty, and an inexplicable pursuit of mediocrity. Instead of scrambling to restore West Point to what it once was, the Academy's senior leaders give cadets more and more privilege in a seeming effort to turn the institution into a third-rate civilian liberal arts college. Unfortunately, they have largely succeeded. The few remaining members of the staff and faculty who are trying to hold the line are routinely berated, ignored, and ultimately silenced for their unwillingness to, quote, go along with the program. The Academy's senior leaders simply do not want to hear the voices or their concerns. Dissent is crushed. I was repeatedly told to keep quiet at faculty meetings, even as a lieutenant colonel, because my dissent was neither needed nor appreciated. It breaks my heart to write this. It breaks my heart to know firsthand what West Point was versus what it has become. This is not a core has. This is not a, quote, core has story. It is meant to highlight a deliberate and radical series of changes being undertaken at the highest levels of the United States Military Academy's leadership that are detrimental to the institution. Criticizing these changes is not popular. I have already been labeled a traitor by some at the Academy due to my sworn statements, appearance in this media circus surrounding Spencer Rapone. However, notice he doesn't refer to him as an officer. However, whenever I hear this, I am reminded of the cadet prayer. Suffer not our hatred of hypocrisy and pretense ever to diminish. Make us choose the harder right instead of the easier wrong. And never be content with a half-truth when the whole truth can be won. That scorns to compromise with vice and injustice and knows no fear when truth and right are in jeopardy. West Point was once special, and it can be again. Spencer Rapone never should have been admitted, much less graduate. But he was, and that mistake is directly attributable to the culture of permissiveness and apathy that now exists there. Remember when I told you that the general officers of the United States needed to be looked at with greater scrutiny? I don't think that I don't think you need anything anything other than that letter. I mean, it's a stunning letter, and I didn't even read all of it. Wow. Anyway, I will post the link, but you can find it. His last name is Heffington, Heffington. So if you just search LTC Heffington, again, Heffington, you'll find the letter, trust me. And you'll see the images of this guy in his West Point. I mean, it's stunning. You see him at West Point, his tunic pulled open, and Che Guevara t-shirt on. Now, I'm sure he would be much like Chelsea Manning, Bradley Manning, whatever she is. I'm sure he will be celebrated by liberals in the nation. But at some point, just like 538 has pulled the curtain back on gun deaths in the country, on police killings in the country, somebody should pull the curtain back on Che Guevara. Yeah, what he was, what he participated in, what he did to other people. At some point, use history to teach people, the dumb among us. So, on a Thursday, and there you have it. This program repeats itself momentarily, so don't touch your dial, whatever you do. If you tuned in late, here's what you're going to hear. We're going to talk a little bit about hazing. John Ubaldi joins me in about 30 minutes after we check some news headlines. But Master Gunn Ubaldi joins me, worked for me he was the staff NCOIC of the MHGG3 and the Marines there. So 0311, 0369. So he answers my questions about hazing. And we'll continue to do that because, again, I'm curious just to move the kaleidoscope as we've done with a number of different issues. So interesting, interested to hear about that. The letter's unbelievable about West Point. And you want to know what I find amazing is the response. West Point superintendent responds to outrage over pro-communist former cadet. I ask that you help me prevent the negativity associated with the alleged behavior of one graduate from causing us to lose sight of the thousands of graduates who sacrificed. That's not what he's talking about, right? That's not what the letter talks about. The letter talks about this guy being admitted, being allowed to remain in, because this wasn't the first incident. It's all the erosion of the standard of discipline in the military. And let me tell you, and it starts at the top. And the Marine Corps' aviation issues? Wow. It just happened. Nobody could foresee it. Bullshit, man. You get paid to foresee it. Oh, yeah, like it's going to come in on time. Do you think that timeline's a little bit too tight, General? No. It'll be good. Bullshit, man. Look at us. If something happened in Korea, Marine Corps Aviation can't play. What a joke, huh? And who took us there? The general officers, the congressional leadership, and the political leadership of the nation. Marine Corps. Ability to accomplish its mission relative to national security, according to the Heritage Foundation, categorized as weak. Right there next to the United States Army. So on that positive note, hang with them, boys. We'll get them. Tighten your belt. We're going to better places. Don't touch this dial. On a Thursday, All Marine Radio over and out.